This is the Ozarks This Morning with Guy Wayman.
This is something that comes about once in a lifetime. Please, please.
It's not how fast you mow, it's
how well you mow fast.
It's how well you mow fast!
Come out and take it, you dirty yellow-bellied rat, or I'll give it to you through the door.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Now, here's the host, Guy Wayman.
All right, it's the best segment of the entire week. I love it, and I love these guys, Allison Rose and Stephen Leibowitz on Movie Talk. Good morning to you, Allison.
Good morning, Guy.
Good morning, Stephen. I'm fine.
And good morning, Guy. Good morning, Allison.
Morning, Stephen.
All right, the gang is all here. We're ready to go. And all right, Stephen, we'll start with you, Morbius.
Listen. No surprise at all, Morbius is number one. It's a new Marvel movie. Despite all the bad reviews, it's going to make some money. I mean, $39 million, fine. Not great, but fine. I mean, next month when Doctor Strange comes out, if it had a $39 million weekend, it'd be a disaster. So this is fine. I want to just jump down real quick, Guy, to number nine on the list. Number nine movie is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yep.
Playing in only 38 theaters. With a $28,000 average per screen. Now that's amazing.
$28,000 average or $2,800? No, $28,000. Wow.
I mean, that's eye-opening. That is eye-opening. Holy smokes.
Yeah, so if we could get it on more screens, think of what it could do.
Exactly. It would certainly beat out Morbius.
Yeah, and 28,000 screens, West Side Story would love that, wouldn't they, Allison?
What's also interesting about Everything Everywhere All at Once is that that was domestic. 99% of the box office was domestic, so only in the U.S. It really isn't released overseas.
Yeah, and when you see the plus and minus, I'm looking at that as well. It's a plus 115%. You don't see that stuff, Allison.
No, rarely, ever. It doesn't happen, but it's got really good buzz. You know, it's a good film, so go out and see it. Support smaller films.
Well, Stephen, it sure does beat Agnes, doesn't it?
It sure does. I'll never hear the end of that, but I'm just still waiting for Agnes 2, Kobe's Revenge.
That's right. Or Steaks Are Us or something like that.
Wagyu.
Okay. The Lost City, Allison.
Number two, which I'm a little surprised about. It's made another almost $15 million this week. It'll fall off a little bit. Again, cute romantic comedy, but I can't get past their age difference. It was just disturbing. It was distracting. That's the word I'm looking for. It was distracting for me.
I'm going to ask you a question, Stephen. What did you think of the movie Coda?
It was one of my favorite movies of last year. I really enjoyed Coda, so I was happy to see it win Best Picture. And if anyone has not seen it, I would encourage checking it out.
Allison, there was something on Twitter there where somebody said that they saw the movie Coda and it really messed them up. What would they mean by that?
I don't really know. I mean, it's a drama. It's heavy material. It sheds light on a little bit of what it's like being CODA, for those who don't know, stands for child of deaf parent or child of deaf adults. So, it deals with that whole aspect of what she's going through. She wants to be a singer, but how can she do that? Her parents are deaf and blah, 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 and they need her. They rely on her, in a sense, to a certain point, because not that many people know sign language. So I don't know what they mean by disturbing, but it is a little bit heavy material.
Yeah. Okay, heavy material. We've got Sonic the Hedgehog coming out here, Stephen, and I just know that you're chomping at the bit for this puppy.
Well, it's Sonic the Hedgehog Part 2. You know, when I went to see the first one a couple of years ago, I went in with my eyes kind of rolling, but I ended up enjoying myself. And strangely, I had an even better time with this new one. I mean, first, Jim Carrey is a great Dr. Robotnik. I mean, he looks just like the character now from the video game. There's a lot more nods to the series, too. I mean, look, it's not brilliant cinema by any stretch of the imagination, but it's been some time since there was a family film out there, and this one will certainly fulfill that void now.
Now, you know what is interesting, Allison, is when this is an animation film, correct?
Yeah. Well, no. Live action. What you might remember from the first one is that it did not test well, and they went back to the drawing board and basically redid all of Sonic. They redrew Sonic and the special effects. But it did really well because of that, which is rare for a movie. But it is live action. It is not animated at all.
So that then reminds you of, like, maybe Jim Carrey in the movie Mask, then, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Sort of.
In a way.
Well, Stephen, I think you know where I was going with that, don't you?
Yes, because it's like it's just like computer animation in this case. And in this case, the character of Sonic and Knuckles and Tails are animated comedic animated figures. They're interacting with, like, real life people, sort of like Gollum in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But and of course, you know, Jim Carrey in Mask had, you know, all of his effect on his face were of course, you know, also CGI.
Okay, Allison, you wanted to make a comment.
I don't remember what it was. I'm so sorry.
Because I said this was more like Mask because it was not animation, but somewhat animated like.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever Stephen was saying was just enthralling. You were enthralling, Stephen.
Okay,
I always am.
All right. Okay, Allison, call the ambulance. Go.
Oh, let's talk about Ambulance, Michael Bay. You know you're going to get car chases. You know you're going to get explosions. He does some really interesting camera angles and movements. I was lucky enough to speak to him and two of the cast members on Tuesday night at the Miami premiere when I saw the film. And they shot this in 39 days at the beginning of COVID in L.A. And so I asked them, you know, did it make it easier or more difficult because everybody was on lockdown? And both Michael Bay and Brad Fisher said it actually made it more difficult because they couldn't necessarily get things that they needed, but yet at the same time, the streets of L.A. were basically empty. So interesting concept, and it's typical Michael Bay, but there's some good moments, and the best use ever of the song Sailing by Christopher Cross ever in a movie.
Hmm. Okay. Your comments on that, Stephen, or maybe one of the other ones coming up?
I'll talk about A-Line because it's a French-Canadian film with subtitles. It's sort of like a fictionalized version of Celine Dion. And if you're a fan of hers, you'll probably enjoy this film. Otherwise, I don't see how, because while movies like Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man can be entertaining, even if you're not fans of Queen or Elton John, this movie just plods along about the highlights of her life, you know, including her marrying her manager, who was like 26 years her senior, and her singing for Titanic and so on. So it didn't do anything for me at all. I think only her diehard fans would like this. Otherwise, I wouldn't recommend it.
And, you know, Allison, bearing along that lines, when you see biography, okay, you can live with that. When you see the music part, you can live with that. But then when they try to put comedy and drama both in the description, it kind of messes with you. It's like, well, what is it?
It's a little of both. I mean, there was some drama in her life, obviously. You know, she was 12 years old when she started. She married her manager, who is much, much older than her. So there's drama, you know, but there are some fun, happy moments, too. And it does focus more so on her relationship with her husband as opposed to her rise to fame. What's interesting is Celine Dion has not spoken publicly about the film, but the movie supposedly received approval from one of her managers, and a number of her songs were used in the film, so they must have gotten permission to use them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Stephen, you knew this was coming up here. There's a movie called Cow coming out. And we've been teasing, there's a movie, Agnes, and you called it Angus at first, but it was a mistake. But somebody actually made, I kid you not, a close-up portrait of the daily lives of two cows. Are you kidding me, Stephen?
No, not at all. And it's, you know, it's one of those, and it's, you know, no interviews or no narration. It just follows this cow, and she gives birth, you know, she gives birth in the beginning, so we follow her cat, her calf. And I didn't even know mama cows care so much for the young, because as soon as the baby's born, she's like licking the slime off her and so on. But having said that, it just follows these two cows. I mean, I think in the first 30 or 40 minutes, there are four different times they're showing the mother getting milk, because there's not much more to a cow's life. I mean, it started to put me to sleep. As a matter of fact, I was watching it Wednesday night, and I just sort of dozed off. I eventually turned it off and went to sleep, because it's just two cows. I mean, I don't know how it ended. I hope, hopefully, not at the meat house or anything. That would be sad. But if you want to, if you're into cows, see cow. If you're not, yeah, you may go have an Angus steak.
It ended up at the Outback Steakhouse, Allison. Okay, Allison, they did this for 94 minutes.
Yeah, you know how I always say sometimes movies are too long? Yeah.
I mean,
again, different angles, the cow's point of view, the person's point of view up close. Yeah. I don't know what they thought we were going to get out of this.
Yeah.
But somebody decided to make a movie from a cow's perspective, so now you all have it.
Yeah, production value. Just use your iPhone. I mean, it doesn't cost a whole lot. And then there's another one. They are really struggling on some of these movies. This one's Aha, the movie, Allison.
What's interesting this week about the movies coming out is that there are two documentaries and two biographies, and this is one of both. So it's a documentary about the band Aha, Norwegian band, who is the only Norwegian band to ever make it, you know, worldwide with their song Take on Me. But what, it goes behind the scenes, and it shows that they weren't necessarily friends. You know, a lot of times in bands, people are friends. They were not. They were there for the music, and there was tension that built as they got more and more famous.
All right, Steve, do you have any comments on this before we move on?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right, Stephen, you get first dibs with the classic movie of the classic pick of the week.
Well, since I mean, they did use the song from the movie, and I do show the Oscar scene, so Aline got me to go to 1997. I went with Titanic.
Oh, okay. All right. And Jack standing on the front end there. I'm king of the sea or the world or whatever he said.
Yep.
Allison, your classic pick of the week.
Well, it's interesting. I did a little bit of research, and now that Spider-Man has been in theaters for 4 months, I went back to see what the longest movie was ever in theaters for. So my classic pick is 1982, E.T. Over 40 years ago, it was in the theater for over a year.
Wow.
Wow.
I did not know it had legs that could go over a year on that. I would have thought maybe like Star Wars or something like that.
Star Wars, interestingly, number 2, 44 weeks.
All right. Yeah, because the theaters, they have to wait. If the movie houses want to make the money, it has to go beyond that 10-week mark. And then they start raking in the cash, because it's all like a graduated scale that goes back to the production house and the movie places. Right, Allison?
Yes, and so they're thrilled with Spider-Man, and I'm sure it's going to spend a few more weeks in the theater because of that. So it's great for movie theater owners. Everybody go see it a second or third time if you haven't already. On average now, movies last 4 to 5 weeks in the theaters, but long ago, that was not the case.
And the movie Agnes is in the vault and not to be seen again.
I encourage everyone to go. No, actually, yes. You know what? We can skip that. You can skip that movie, folks. It's just a guilty pleasure of mine. What can I say?
That's right. All right. Thank you so much, Allison.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, guys.
And as we like to say, see you in the movies.